I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, and off we go. We got a busy show for you this morning here. Robert Flores is going to join us in about 15 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to talk Astros baseball with him. Robert Flores is a big Houstonian Astros fan. He works for MLB Network. Funny guy from the Houston area. So we'll talk to him at 7:15. Dana Holgorsen is going to join us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. He's going to hang out with us for the 8 o'clock hour. That is going to be cool. And then we're going to have Scoop Jackson joining us at 9:30 to talk some basketball. So we got a busy show for you here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. No Astros last night. They play in Arizona tonight. So a two-game series there. And then over the weekend, the Astros are going to hang. This is a long time. Now, the schedule was that you were supposed to play the Phillies and then the Yankees in the first week of the season. Obviously, that was canceled. That was pushed back. So you started with the Angels on Thursday, and then you got Arizona and Seattle. You don't come home until the day after. Easter, and that's going to be the Angels for three games, and then Toronto for three games. And by the way, George Springer is hitting again. George Springer is looking pretty damn good.
Yeah, good for Georgie.
And that's a pretty good baseball team. The Blue Jays are a pretty good baseball team. They're going to be right there. Yuli's little brother is there. They've got, you know, Biggio. They've got a nice young and talented team. And George's probably a good leader in that locker room for young guys. I mean, you know, it was a $25 million deal, but it's well worth it to them if George can show them how to win. And George can do that, obviously. So they're going to come in here, and then the Astros hit the road again. A long time coming until you get opening day here in Houston.
Yeah, I'm excited about finally seeing them, you know, live. It's with I did not go last year, and of course, pandemic. Well, no, that's not true. I went to postseason. So actually, I did go to the postseason, but I didn't go to a regular season game last year. We had issues with getting credentials, and I didn't take the kids last year. So it'll be fun getting back and getting to more games this year. Jeremy Peña is he's not going to draw me to the stadium by himself. The Astros as the team are. But, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. So growing up, I always had my favorite players, you know, Cesar Cedeño. And I always had weird favorite players a lot of times, off-brand favorite players like Lewis Lloyd and Benny Anders and all these different guys. And there have always been players that I like watching, one or two players. But with the Astros team, and it's been like this for a while with this team, you know, I love watching Fromber. Love watching Fromber work, the crafty lefty. Justin Verlander, love watching him work. Really, honestly, got to where really enjoyed Garcia, Urquidy a little less. And that's nothing personal. I don't know what it is. It's just, but although wasn't it Urquidy? Yeah, it was Urquidy last year that the guy would say, Chocolate or whatever, whenever he whenever he was striking. No, it wasn't Chocolate. It was
They said Chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Chocolate.
The Spanish
broadcast did. And so that made it a little more fun also. But you just think about the amount of fun players who are kind of their own, not necessarily brands, but in a way. I would argue that with all the T-shirts that are out there, the T-shirt companies and everything, Yuli Gurriel is a brand. He's kind of a brand, to be honest with you. He's very unique. He's got that unique swing. He is a highly productive player. He's got the hair. He's got flair to him, without question. Bregman has a little less flair. He had some. It's kind of coming back. It was kind of dormant for a little while. But the Astros have a lot of guys. You could be going to the park because you want to see four, five, six players on any given day. There's never been an Astros team like that other than, you know, I think the Astros since about 18, 19 is when it, even less so in 17, honestly. The 17 team was a young upstart team. But when you really add everything up, I mean, there's a lot of different guys that you would really pay to go see in this single in this single lineup.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I'm asking you, you know what? I'm really excited about Jeremy Pena. Listen, the start is obviously he's not going to hit 375 and everything else. But maybe, you know what? It just might turn out, as much talk as there was about Carlos Correa. Carlos picked up his silver slugger and his gold glove yesterday in Minnesota. I don't, you know, I'm kind of, you know, torn on it. You know, I know he didn't win it here, but he won it. Yeah, those are individual awards. He got his awards there in Minnesota. They don't care about it nearly as much. They weren't going to wait until he got to Houston to give him his awards, although that would have been kind of cool. I think Carlos have gotten a big reception if he got his gold glove and silver slugger here when Minnesota visits? I think so. I think fans would have definitely appreciated that.
Yeah, without question.
I don't know. You know, we've seen a lot of players come and go. Carlos Beltran was obviously booed mercilessly, and I just didn't understand it. The dude took $100 million, and the Astros didn't offer $100 million.
Yeah, you should have. You can boo him now.
Now is when you boo Carlos.
But I never got upset about Carlos either. I think Boris and. I mean, you could say Carlos, but I think it was just Boris played the Astros as a second. He was just trying to get the number to a certain level. You tell the Mets, okay, we need the number to be even higher because of taxes, and you get the number you want. I think he played the Astros as a second horse. I think that's Boris. I didn't have a problem with Carlos. Carlos Beltran was a rental
player. He played the Astros as a second horse, but as I understand it, who knows? It could have been Boris. It could have been Boris saying it. Astros never really offered.
Are you booing Randy? Are you booing Randy Johnson?
No.
He did the same thing.
No, and who cares? You know what? Is there anybody else that comes back and we boo him?
No, not really.
I don't think so.
Not that I can.
I can't remember.
Former
that.
Astros?
Any former players. Well, who do we boo?
Not former Astros.
How about James Harden?
You mean former Houston players. I don't think of it. I can't think of it.
No, I can't think of any either.
No, unless
Carlos Beltranville forever, and it was just ridiculous to me. But
yeah, I that one didn't make sense to me either. I guess I understood it. I just didn't agree with it.
Are they going to boo? They're not going to boo Carlos Correa when he comes here.
No.
I think he'll get a nice ovation.
Carlos will get a standing ovation.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, Springer.
Carlos will get a standing ovation.
Now, George didn't play, right? Did he play here last
George
year?
Was I don't think hurt. He was. I don't think he played. He didn't play here.
When he
George
does.
Will get applause. There's no animus to any of these guys.
No.
No animosity to any of these guys.
Oh, yeah. Deshaun, will he get booed?
Yes.
Yes.
Deshaun
will get booed. Yeah.
Jay. I mean, there's a couple things at play there for Deshaun. One is the 22, you know, the accusations, and then the other one was he just quit on the team.
He quit on him.
I mean, there's no way around it. He literally quit on the
well,
team.
Now he may make the organization great, so who knows?
You will have some people applaud him. It'll be a smattering.
Really?
But oh yeah. Oh.
It'll be overwhelming.
Did you not see Twitter? There's a lot of people who still have Deshaun's back, period.
It'll be overwhelming booze.
I think it'll be 80.
Either way, if Davis Mills is really good, you say, oh well. Or if they replace him at any point before he gets here, then you go, oh well, we got a quarterback. If they don't, then you should boo him because you left us in the lurch, and we still do. We still don't have a quarterback. But yeah, that was. Yeah, listen, I'm hoping Jeremy Pena makes you forget about all about Carlos Correa. And there's a chance that he does. I mean, yeah, I know he made an error his first game, so he can't possibly be good.
Yeah,
so
Deshaun is playing here next year.
This coming season?
Yeah, he's here.
Well, if he's not suspended.
Yeah, if he's not
suspended. If he's not suspended. He will get booed. It'll be overwhelming boos. And I, you know what? Deshaun didn't sell any tickets last year. Well, he wasn't here last year. It should be a packed house.
It'll be a Mike Fire situation. A legal suspend him. They'll make sure his suspension hits when he's supposed to play in Houston.
Oh, I think he should be. I would hope that. No. I would think that the league is going to wait, if you want to know the truth. I think the league is going to wait until.
I really think they should, because apparently there is language inside the contract that more than Cleveland, you know, Cleveland, I guess, apparently said, this is kind of standard. And then people went inside the contract, other executives went inside the contract and said, nope, this is a Mulgeta thing. David Mulgeta set this up. This is an agent setting this up. I kind of hope that, what I hope is that if you can't just let an agent circumvent any punishments or anything like that. That's just not, you can't have someone get everything that they want. Like, it's just, there's got to be some pushback from the league because it's just such an incredibly bad look.
Well, and not only that.
To avoid any punishment.
Not only that. But they may want to, and they say that the trials aren't going to start until 2023. They may want to hear the testimony before they decide exactly what the punishment is going to be.
So it could be 2024?
Oh, yeah. Or into the 23. Say, oh, we've heard enough. You're going to get suspended.
What if they
film? But if the league does suspend him this year at $55,000 a game, the league has absolutely... has no guyons. I'm telling you. I think that it would be. I think it's a really bad.
Well,
look
they have to have a
that you're allowing him to circumvent that.
Wait, you have to. Now let's work through this a little bit. You have to. There has to be a reason that you're waiting.
You want to hear the testimony?
They may have found it. You could also argue, devil's advocate here, that Cleveland and more importantly David Mulgeta found a loophole, and you have to have a reason to not.
Well,
suspend.
Brady found the loophole, too, when he was suspended. He did the same thing.
What's that?
When he was going to get suspended for Deflategate, he took less. They structured his contract so he would get less fine. Absolutely. It happened.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Well, they may not wait.
Well, they may not, or they might say, nah, we're going to put an end to this circumvention stuff.
Yeah, they could.
Yep.
They could. Yep. They could. This is a – yeah, this is – this was new. This is a new money contract. Now you can make the argument, feasibly, that Cleveland says, except that it's so egregious. But you could make the argument that Cleveland needed to get cap space worked out because legitimately need room to move Baker Mayfield. You're going to take a cap hit for that. I mean, you could make the argument if you're Cleveland, say, hey, we needed to set this up in such a way.
They did that with Myles Garrett as well. So there is.
Laramie Tunsil, by the way, this year has a low base number.
Yeah.
They gave him, they converted cash. His number's so low next year. My mock draft's going to come out with NFL Network, and we're going to go through it here later in the show. Good. I will unveil it here before it even comes out on NFL.com. And you'll find out what I'm doing with the Texans at 3-13.
Okay, good. Well, next, Robert Flores is going to join us. We're going to talk Astros baseball with Robert Flores next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I've got Doc Linville to talk about. And I literally think about Doc Linville all the time. All right. Now, he's a really good guy. I played golf with him. He's a tremendous guy. He's a guy's guy. He will really like Doc Linville. I mean, he does plastic surgery all day long. He's looking at stuff, okay? He's got a great job. Now, he also looks at your hair, and that's not nearly as great. But here's the deal. He's got to stare at bald heads. But what he does is he can tell you, listen, I can help you out. Not only is he doing all the other plastic surgeries, but he's doing the hair to make you look better. Doc Glenville is doing great stuff for guys all over. He's enhancing women, and he's also giving you hair. He's a great guy. He's a servant of the community. So if you're looking for hair, that's the most important thing. Get you the hair that you want to have, you don't want to be bald. You want to have your hair looking great. And Doc Linville does this every day. With a wonderful process, you will love it. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Robert Flores, Houstonian, big star, MLB Network, with us here this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at Roflo, R-O-F-L-O, if you're not following him. You need to, because he is a bona fide tweeter. He's got a blue check mark, so he knows things. Robert, welcome back to the show. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
Man, the season is back. Isn't it awesome?
Oh, it's really great. I mean, I know it was a little dicey, a little touch and go there earlier in the winter, and then as we had to push back the start of spring training, but it's great. You know, it's great to see the fans at the back of the ballpark. And, there's been some challenges, especially from a health perspective. A lot of teams are being affected by the health of their starting pitching and pitching staff in general. But other than that, it's been great.
So you tweeted out George Springer's homer yesterday. The gold glove and the silver slugger picked up by Carlos. Honestly, as a Houstonian, do you want to see those guys? Does it hurt a little to see those guys do well or no?
I mean, I'm sure that there's a little twinge of, kind of in the pit of your stomach where it stings a little bit. But, both of those guys, George Springer and Carlos Correa, they were a part of so many great moments for the franchise and moments that'll go down in the annals of the city sports history. So they clearly played a big role in that. And, yeah, you do feel a little sense of nostalgia when those guys do well in another uniform, but you understand that it's just part of the business.
Yep. Hey, Steven Souza had an interesting tweet yesterday when people were talking about the Dodger talk was how much they hate Jose Altuve, and he said, hey, there's a lot of good guys over there, and then there was a long thread.
And then there's actually, here's some of the comments. People were like a guy comes out and says, "Well, I'm sure they are when they aren't cheating at the highest level of competition." And Steven says, "I'm not going to get into all that, but you should just know that if you think Houston was the only team with a sign stealing system, you're wrong." And he was asked about, Altuve is one of my all time favorites, but blah blah blah. He said, "I hear you, but if you only knew how many teams were doing it, you wouldn't be as mad at Jose Altuve." And another person jumped in, a Dodgers fan, but they were the only ones cheating in the 2017 World Series. He said, 100% absolutely not the only team in 2017. I can promise you that. Did other teams use tech like Houston and Boston? He goes, yep. So you're starting to see, we saw it with Bassett, we've seen it with Chris Sale, now we've seen it with Souza. What the players have known the entire time but didn't want to say because of the atmosphere and the anger in the air at the time, Robert, they're starting to say now that some time has passed, the truth is starting to come out on this deal.
Yeah, listen, the whole episode of what went down in 2017 and then the resulting suspensions and all that followed with that, clearly it is such a complicated issue with a lot of nuance and details, and those are things that really aren't valued, certainly on social media and in a large part in our country today. So people want to be angry for the sake of being angry, but make no mistake about it. Listen, what the Astros did in 2017, what was ultimately determined that they did in the resulting investigation, reprehensible. And could you argue that they were the most elaborate, maybe even the most arrogant with their whole apparatus and scheme? Sure, yeah, absolutely. But to some of the other major leaguers that have pointed this out, were they the only ones? I don't know that for sure. I would suspect that they were not the only ones. Do people and other fan bases outside the city of Houston want to hear that? No. Do they care? No. Are they going to let it go? No. That's ultimately what it is. I mean, no one's mind is going to be changed because that's just the way this story is, and that's the way the sporting public is, and that's the way we are as a country as well. That's just how it is, unfortunately.
When is the letter going to be open?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I read a couple of weeks ago that it would be a couple of weeks from now. So, but I don't know anything about letters or what's in the contents of that letter. But I imagine that it's not going to satisfy Astro fans, and it's not going to prove anything to fan bases outside of Houston.
No. No.
It's going to be so really don't put a whole lot of stock into it. That's kind of my suspicions on the whole thing.
Well, even the Yankees can circumvent a judge's decision. So I mean, they were told to open it in 2 weeks and still isn't open a month ago. So
we're done trying to figure that out.
Oh, forget about it. Hey, is there a chance that it's obviously a small sample size, and after one game, you know, Jeremy Peña had an error, so he was the worst shortstop ever. But now he's 6-for-16. He's hitting .375. He's got a homer. He's got 2 3-hit games. Is there a chance that the Astros were right about this thing?
That's a difficult question because I think there's a lot that goes into it. I did not understand I didn't understand why the Astros would be resistant to getting one more year of Carlos Correa in his prime. I think he clearly wanted to come back. I know for a fact that the Astros seemingly weren't as enthusiastic about a possible reunion, at least if you gauge by their unwillingness to engage Correa's camp's attempts at a reunion. I know for a fact they did not offer him a contract post-lockout or offer him a new deal or talk figures with him or his representatives post-lockout. So setting that aside, I think Jeremy Peña is clearly this is the best case, best case scenario for the Astros right now. Jeremy Peña gets off to a good start, especially at the plate. The thing that I've maintained about Jeremy Peña is he can't be Carlos Correa. Yeah, I mean, he's got to be the best version of Jeremy Peña that he can be. He needs to make most, if not all, of the routine plays and every now and then make a spectacular play. And his skill set and his career in professional baseball would lead you to believe that he's capable of that. So I think that this is the best-case scenario for the Astros and for Jeremy Peña. Getting off to a nice start, getting him settled into the lineup. At first, they were batting him, I think, seventh in the lineup. And then after a couple of games, hey, he was batting second and third. So I think this is a really good start for Peña and hopefully something that he can build off.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Robert Flores joins us right now. Rofe Love from MLB Network, and this is a good time to be an Astros fan in terms of the general time frame. But it's also good when you have a young pitching staff. And Justin Verlander came back. He's not a young pitcher. He's an older pitcher who seems to be pitching really well. But when you look at historically, the ability to sustain success always comes with younger pitchers who are still under club control and who are heading into their prime. Do you see this as a sustainable, even when Justin Verlander's gone, do you still see sustainable high-end level pitching talent at the starting rotation, or do you think that there's going to need to be some additional movement at some point?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of both. I think you have to look at how the Astros have developed their young starters and the success they've had. Jose Urquidy, Luis Garcia, those guys have pitched in some important ball games for this team over the past couple of seasons, especially Urquidy, and they've performed very well. So Framber Valdez has turned into a top of the rotation type starter. Is he an ace of a winning ball club or a pennant winning ball club? I don't know about a one, but he can certainly be a two and definitely a three. So I think this Astros team and franchise has shown that they have a good history of developing young talent, but they're always going to be looking to add. and I think that's something you have to be willing to do. If you can acquire quality talent, especially in the starting rotation department, you're absolutely going to do that.
I was a little disappointed that you turned on the organization. You had Toronto winning the AL this year.
Hey, man, they are freaking stacked. That is for sure. Look, everyone knows that I'm a native Houstonian, so I sometimes got to do like the fake hustle.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's a diversionary tactic.
I got to pretend like I'm not biased. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Hey, is this, man, it got ugly in that that Mets-Washington series with the balls to the face. This is going to last all season long. Isn't it? That was ugly, that first series.
Yeah, and clearly those two are division rivals, so they're going to play a whole lot more throughout the course of the season. I think in most instances, it probably wasn't intentional, but I've never experienced 90 miles per hour to the face or to the ribs, but I imagine it hurts whether it's intentional or not. So, and being that Buck Showalter is a new manager over there, he's got to show that he's willing to protect his guys and protect his lineup. So, I think it's in his heart of hearts, Buck Showalter would tell you he knows that it wasn't intentional, but at the same time, he also knows that he has to go out there and protect his guys.
Big mistake by Cashman revealing the Judge numbers.
I thought it was interesting, and at the best case scenario, it was interesting. Worst case, it was petty. I think they knew what they were doing, and I understand it. You know, part of me understands why you want to let your fan base know, hey, this is what we offered. We didn't lowball them. We made a serious, realistic, competitive offer. Do I think it's an offer that's probably a little low, and do I think Aaron Judge can do a little bit better? Yeah, I can. And when people and Yankee fans and fans in general say, well, how can this guy turn down $200 million? I would never turn down $200 million. The thing that I always go back to is, one, no one's offering you $200 million to do your job. That's just the way it is. I wish it was different. I wish we could pay teachers and lawyers $200 million and policemen and fire personnel, but that's just not how it works. Aaron Judge can make more than what the Yankees offered. Now, he's got to stay healthy, and he's got to produce. And his health has always been a subject of scrutiny. So I think that Aaron Judge is betting on himself, and I will always applaud someone for doing that.
Robert Flores on MLB Network. What are your hours this year? What's going on?
Yeah, MLB Central is on an hour earlier. So we are on at 8 a.m. Houston time, so in about half an hour.
Nice. That's why we got him early here. You early listeners got a chance to hear Robert Flores before he goes on the big stage and tells you all about baseball this morning on the MLB Network. Hey, Robert, we'll let you go. We know you got to work. We really appreciate you being here, and let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. You guys
right.
have a
Thanks. Good There's Robert Flores right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What a great guy. Really funny guy. Really good guy, too. Art, I do know he's a good guy, okay? Met him. He's a really nice guy. I do know that, Art. Every time I say that, Art's like, you don't know what kind of guy he is.
That's true.
It is true.
It's true.
No, but I do know Robert Flores is a good guy.
I remember in 2018, you're like, LeBron is an unbelievable guy. He's a great
Yeah. I remember
person.
When you were like man, Darren Sharper, what a guy. I remember when you said that.
I remember when you were talking at one point about Jeffrey Dahmer.
I remember.
And you said, when I used to be in Milwaukee at one point.
Me and OJ, I gave him a set of knives. I remember when you said that.
Yeah, you said Henry Lee Lucas, that guy, because people with middle names in there
right.
who use middle names, you know, they're the ones that are most trustworthy.
Yeah. No. I remember when you...
David Lee Roth, Henry Lee Lucas. Excuse me.
One
was kind of a diva rocker, and the other one was an actual serial killer. But still. Both were annoying.
I know Patrick Chastain only has two names, Patrick and Chastain. Listen, if you're looking for that Chevy, goodness gracious. You know what? There might be some Chevys on the lot, the pre-owned vehicles. Who knows? But if you're looking for that Ford, there's only one place to go and get that new Ford, and that Ford is a Chastain Ford. It is, I'm telling you. I love doing business with Chastain Ford. Just the best. You order that F-150. Now, it's going to take a little time to get there, but you get to order it exactly as you want. You're not going to pay MSRP. You're just not going to do that. You're going to get rebates that you're not going to get anywhere else at other dealerships. They're going to mark it up, and they're going to add on. And what you don't do at Chastain Ford is you get any add-ons. So I don't want the bed liner. I don't want the sunroof. So you don't have to get that. And they're not going to force you to get that. And they're not going to coerce you to get that. What they're going to say is, what do you want in the vehicle? And how much do you need? Where do your payments have to be? Because that's what they're going to get you at every single time. So if you're looking for the best way to get in that Ford car, truck, or that pre-owned vehicle, like I said, there's pre-owned vehicles on the lot. You can get in and out right now. You got to have something now, you can get that done as well. All at Chastain Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can do it all online at ChastainFord.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Texans offseason is underway. Well, it's been underway for a while, but they're in the facility, and Lovie Smith met with the media yesterday. Here was the most interesting. This was the last question of his press conference yesterday. He was asked about the cornerback position. He talked about the safeties, and you know Terrence Brooks is one of the great players in the game today. So the Texans have him returning, Eric Murray as well. So I don't know that they're set at the corner at the safety position, but the cornerback position. Here's Lovie, pretty honest about what he sees in his cornerbacks.
Well, I mean, we're looking at the roster right now, and you see who we have there, and. You also see our play at the cornerback position. Our play at the cornerback position last year was not good enough. It's as simple as that. If we brought somebody back, we have faith in them. We think that they can fit into the mix some kind of way. But as a position, we'll continue to look to improve. We can't play the type of football that we want to play until we get better at the cornerback position. I will say that.
Very interesting. You don't hear his coach saying that a lot. That's a pretty good indicator, I think, that...
First of all, he's a new head coach, so no one's promised anything, right? He's the defense coordinator of the team last year, but he's a new head coach, so no one is... He's not trying to not hurt feelings. He just told the truth.
Yeah.
Like, we give guys so much credit for being honest.
Yeah. And because
truthful.
Nobody is.
The Texans have been terrible on the secondary for at least 3 years in a row. What's so bad? What's so surprising that a guy says that just wasn't
very
good last
year? But it is. It's refreshing.
You're a little,
because listen, I was talking to somebody that is in the business, and he's like, GMs, owners, they never tell the coaches. They never, ever, ever tell the truth.
Ballard always does publicly, yeah. Which is why fans like him. I think Lovie Smith, and when you come in, there is nothing that you have nothing to lose when you're first in. As a GM and head coach, you can be honest because there's not a CYA moment in there because these are not your guys.
Right.
But I think the other thing is Lovie is that guy anyway. And pre-draft process, people don't believe this. They think everything's a smokescreen. From years of doing this, you are going to get information at the combine and in many teams. You won't get it from Nick Caserio, but but I think from Lovie Smith, you will. Honest assessments of not only players but also positional values in the NFL draft, you'll get pretty good information. And what Lovie is saying here, now, I'll also tell you this. Historically, now, this comes from Ballard. It comes from Rex Hogan, who's the assistant GM with the Jets. Comes from Marty Sadowski. I can't remember his first name. We just call him Sado. But Sado is a big wig in Chicago still. They were all with Jerry Angelo and Lovie Smith. They will all tell you, Lovie believes in building the fronts, offensive line, and pass rush. Lovie fundamentally believes that if your pass rush is good enough, you don't have to have great cornerbacks. Yeah. You have to have good cornerbacks, better cornerbacks. But no, it's not Troy Sadowski. It's Mark. It's Mark Sadowski. So these are... Marty, who's with the Rams, and So you have basically you have
the
Lovie Smith mode is
the
not
quicker you get to the corner the quarterback. The less the cornerback has to
cover. He's more likely to put draft capital in the rush than in cornerback as you move forward thinking about the Texans. So, you know, I don't see the Texans drafting corner in the first round, to be honest with you. I think it will be different. And at 7:45, if you want, I can go through my entire mock draft. It's going to be they're going to put it out on NFL.com later. I'm doing TV shows on NFL Network throughout the day about this mock. And we'll unveil it at 7:45. We will have the number 3 pick and the number 13 pick. But I'll also tell you that I went back and forth. This mock took over 10 hours because I made several changes. At one point, I had the Texans trading out of 13 and trading way back. I had two different players that I had at the 13th pick and went back and changed it. So this was a difficult – it was really difficult projecting 13. I didn't think it was as difficult projecting pick number 3 – And I'll tell you why at 7:45. You'll have to stick with us, but I'll give you insight into this. And I feel pretty good about who I got at number 3, to be honest with you. I've been doing a little research on this and digging around and doing some background stuff. And I feel like one of the things that you're seeing publicly right now with the Texans is not going to be
all right.
The case.
So I heard a conversation yesterday, and maybe he's not worth it, and blah blah blah. How pissed would you be if it was Sauce Gardner at 3 and Trent McDuffie at 13?
Both?
Yes.
I'd be pissed. That's too – I mean, that's just too much. I don't think you fundamentally made yourself better in the trenches. And no
so
one
you're,
ever,
you're
no one
a
ever
trench
won a,
guy.
No one ever won a game. Yeah, that's how I came up. That's how I fundamentally believe it. If you look at what did Joe Burrow need? He needs offensive line help. Now, they've already built the exterior, which is fine. But if you look at how rebuild teams, the best way teams rebuild is offensive line, defensive line. That's the quickest way to rebuild a team because you can find cornerbacks outside of the first round who are good cornerbacks historically. I would not be a fan of two cornerbacks in the first. I think you're not getting to the pass rusher on
time.
Yeah,
it's fixing, and you got so many holes.
Like that's a position. That's clearly a positional draft.
Listen, I'm looking at this and just thinking of the enormity of what you have to do. If Nick Caserio, I bet he walks in and just goes, "Wow," and he's been doing this for how long now? Over a year now, and he's probably just going, "Oh my God, there's still so much to do."
Yeah, but there is
so
but,
much to
doesn't
do.
Doesn't it make you? Like, I almost couldn't be – I think there's philosophical stuff, which is what you got into with two cornerbacks. But it's almost to the point where this roster is so bad and so empty that
– anything you do.
Yeah, it's like getting a giant slice of pizza and you haven't had a – you have. I don't care where the pizza came from. It's going to taste good if you haven't eaten for 24 hours. You're going to be excited about eating that piece of pizza. Any pick is going to be, you know what? That guy's got a chance to play.
Yeah.
Every player you pick at 3 and 13.
Yeah.
I can't think of a player. Now, you could come up and go, Cleveland Farrell like the Raiders did. I mean, there are some picks that could be like, oh, my God, what did he just do? And I will tell you, the Patriots have done that over the years where they have made some wild picks sometimes that didn't make a lot of sense. And Nick Caserio was in the middle of those drafts. But I just... 3 and 13. I mean, I almost feel like you can't screw this up. You're going to find somebody that's going to help the team, even though we know that most drafts don't have guys that, you know, at 13, there's plenty of players who don't pan out at 3 and at 13.
Yeah, listen, there are a bunch of Blake Bortles was the 3rd pick. What I'm looking at the remember when Cleveland in 2014 had 2 picks? With the 8th pick, they took Justin Gilbert.
Oh, my God.
And then with the 22nd pick, they took Johnny Manziel.
So Cleveland screwed up their 2 picks for 3 straight years. There was 3 straight years.
Yeah.
Not straight years, but 3
How
different times.
How long was it that they didn't re-sign, that they didn't give a second contract to their first-round pick? I think it was years and years that their first-round pick never got to a second contract.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Horrible. But listen, there are a lot of bad.
Oh my God! Here,
there
ready
are bad
for this?
Picks all over.
Here's the 13th pick. Tell me what you think about the 13th pick, Rashawn Slater.
Nice,
really good. Tristan Wirfs.
Nice,
really good. Christian Wilkins. Okay, Daron Payne. Okay, Hassan Reddick.
Okay.
Okay.
No. I checked out right now.
Laremy Tunsil. Good.
Yeah.
Andres Pete has not performed. He's still there.
Yeah.
But Saints have not really loved him. Aaron Donald.
Wow.
Sheldon Richardson. Michael Floyd. Nick Fairley. Brandon Graham. Brian Arakpo. Jonathan Stewart was too high. Adam Carricker was okay. Kamarion Wembley. Jamal Brown. Lee Evans. Ty Warren. Not as great recently. But you see, it's been a pretty good run at pick number three over the last 8 years. It's been a pretty good run. Aaron Donald, Andres Pete, Laremy Tunsil, Hassan Reddick, Daron Payne, Christian Wilkins, Tristan Wirfs, Rashawn Slater. That's pretty good. That a lot of times it means the high risk, high reward players are drafted earlier. Like Trayvon Walker to me, well, I've heard his football character is so off the charts. I had somebody tell me that he's going into buildings right now, and he's such a pro, and just his demeanor is just football only. The teams are really falling in love with him. Here's the third pick, Trey Lance. We don't know yet. Jeff Okuda.
Mm.
Quinnen Williams. He's been solid. Sam Darnold.
Mm.
Ugh. Solomon Thomas. Mm. Ugh. Joey Bosa. Good. Dante Fowler.
Mm. Ugh.
Blake Bortles. Yikes.
Mm.
Deion Jordan. Yikes.
Mm.
Trent
Terrible.
Richardson.
Mm.
Marcell Dareus was good. Gerald McCoy was good.
Man, the 13th pick's better than the third.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you never, in the NFL, the idea of you're upset because you screw up your draft positioning is the dumbest thing ever. If you study how these picks actually pan out, it's way different than
what
you
think. Let's do it on the other side. Your picks,
my
a preview
draft.
Of your mock draft that nobody else is going to get until later. You're going to get a preview right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite and the greatness that is. It doesn't matter what you have to remodel. Your business, I mean, he can do your entire business. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, do you want to put in a new bar in your business? Do you want to put in new vanities in the bathrooms? Do you want to put in new toilets, new walls? You want to redo the tile throughout your business? Whatever it is, Jeff Aronoff will do that. It's got to be a big job. Jeff Aronoff ain't coming to replace a couple of tiles on your floor. He just fix a couple of steps leading up to your house. That's just not happening. Be it your business or your home, you need to upgrade. You need to make it better. You and business-wise, you got to do this because people aren't going to return to your business. If it's gross, if it's this old, if it's dilapidated, if it's shungad, you know what? I'm not coming back. I'm not going back there. I want to go somewhere nice. That's what happens every single day. And Jeff Aronoff can make it that much better. All you got to do is call him and let him start the process. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 747 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, what happens if you run out of gas? Then guess what happens? You're stalled.
Well, you get
Lance
some.
Just asked during the break, if you have an electric car and the electricity goes out, what happens?
I mean, you're stuck.
Yeah, guess what? If you
what
run
about
out of
those
gas,
double.
If you run out of gas, guess what happens?
Get more gas.
You can get more electricity.
How?
You think it's going to be off forever?
Well, you just have to sit and wait for somebody else, I guess.
What do you mean?
Well, you can't walk to an electricity store and get a bucket and get one of those things and spray some electricity into your thing, into your canister and walk over and put electricity in your car.
No,
you have
no.
to just sit and wait until the trees aren't on the limbs.
Yeah, and if you're not near a gas station either, you can't just do anything either. Okay.
Yeah, you Uber and you get them to take you to a gas station.
Well, then you Uber if electricity's off, you Uber to wherever you want to go.
But how does your car run?
Well, and then when the electricity comes back on, you charge your car.
That's a long. That could be a long wait here.
Well, how long?
During hurricane season. Well.
How long?
2.5 weeks for some people.
Well, those people.
It's not their fault.
You go and you get it towed to somewhere that does have electricity.
It was just the question is like, Maybe those ones that allow you to have electricity and gas would be.
My
they were just having a conversation.
F-150 Lightning. Don't they be talking
having,
about it.
You don't even have it.
I do. I will.
When?
It's coming soon. As soon as I order it, and then it comes.
When the chips are ready?
Then they make it.
When the chips are ready?
Yeah. Wish it would come.
It looks like
soon.
A cool vehicle.
It does look cool.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, how about your mock draft? That looks pretty cool, too.
It's a very cool mock draft.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time, so let me just I'll get to this first. The Houston Texans, let me pull it out of my drive. So with the Texans, so in mock drafts, what I do is I try to think like the teams would think. I look at all the team needs. I go through multiple websites, professional sites. I go to fan sites because sometimes some fan bases have a pretty good feel. Some writers for fan bases have a pretty good feel for team needs. I'll send direct messages to beat writers a lot of times, and I'll, you know, find out what team needs are there. And so it's let's play some underneath. That's a good call, RJ. Play some NFL NFL music. So anyway, when I do these, I don't necessarily do them as what I think a team. I don't do them as what I think a team should do necessarily, but what a team might do. And sometimes I'll use information I get from a team.
All right, go ahead.
Now the first pick of the mock draft, I had Trayvon Walker. It's not what I would personally do, but Trayvon Walker is starting to blow people away. With his personality, his testing at the combine, he's got long arms, very long arms, which is a big deal to teams. Physically, his profile is starting to, he's not as big, but his profile in athletic testing is similar to what we saw with Mario Williams. When he wasn't the best player coming out of college, it was Vince or Reggie, and yet who got drafted first? This is going to be that same scenario, I think. Trayvon Walker is going to get drafted ahead of people maybe who are better college players. So I got Trayvon Walker first. I got Aiden Hutchinson second. Now, who is everyone putting at third right now, John, for the Texans, if you pay attention to this?
Evan Neal, and there's a lot of – there's Icky. There's Evan Neal. There's there's Trayvon Walker.
I'm seeing a lot is Kayvon Thibodeau. Okay, I've seen multiple Kayvon Thibodeaus popping up. Which got me to thinking maybe there's some smoke to this fire. So I went digging around on that one, and I do not think that is going to be the case. I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau, and I've never thought this was the case, and now I feel more comfortable with this. I don't believe that Kayvon Thibodeau has the Texans. I don't think they are fully bought in on his, and it's not just the Texans, by the way. Before you want to make your Texans joke, it's people in the NFL are not fully bought in on the personality. They just aren't. They just aren't convinced that he's committed to football as I want to win more than I want to make my money and be a star person and player. Sometimes they can be the same, all the same thing, but he's also not a guy who had 12 sacks last year. He's a guy who really, frankly, has not had great production. It's been very average production for having all this athletic ability and explosiveness. So with that said, I looked at the Texans and I said, what about Jermaine Johnson? Because he fits what Lovie Smith likes. But digging around with teams, there's a concern a little bit about Jermaine Johnson and his personality. And more than one person told me that. So I don't think he's going to be the third pick as a surprise third pick. When you really get into it, you're terrible at right tackle. You're not good at guard. And if you look at Laremy Tunsil's contract now, Laremy Tunsil is a prime candidate to be cut after this next year. His contract this year... And I don't know that this year matters, but this year's contract in 2022, he's got a $1 million base salary, $34 million dead cap, a $17 million cap hit. Next year, it's a $35 million cap hit, dead space of $16 million. You subtract those two, you're going to save $19 million almost when you cut Laremy Tunsil next year. So why not plug in Evan Neal at right tackle and then move him to left tackle next year? So I think Evan Neal makes the most sense. He might play guard this year. He might, depending on what you want to do with Titus Howard. But what you need to know is that Evan Neal will be your starting left tackle in 2023. I believe this is the last year based on the cap numbers for Laremy Tunsil.
Okay.
And so I had Evan Neal at number three. Quickly, I had Sauce Gardner going number four. Kayvon Thibodeau, five to the Giants. Charles Cross, which is earlier than I expected, to the Panthers at six. The Giants, I had... Ike Ekwonu, Falcons, Garrett Wilson, the Seahawks, Derek Stingley. His big workout recently, did what I think, what I thought it would do. It's just going to push him back up the food chain. Number 10, the Jets. I've got Jermaine Johnson. 11, the Commanders. I've got Drake London. 12, Kyle Hamilton. Vikings. I've kept Kyle Hamilton falling. If he falls to 13, there will be a decision to make for the Texans, because I do think he has the football character and rare matchup potential to potentially be the pick there. Now, initially what I did was I had the Detroit Lions moving from 32 to 13 to select Malik Willis. And I still think the Lions could get frisky and move up in this draft to make a quarterback move. I think the Saints could be a team that trades up to 13. I think the Steelers could be a team that trades up to 13. What I'm telling you is I let it sit there for over 3 hours where I had the Lions moving up. But the more I went through it, I went through the draft trade chart. Do you know the draft trade chart, the new updated one, says that the Lions pick number 34 would be enough to move from 32 up to 13 if you included the 34th pick. Well, here's what I did. I went and looked what the number 20 move, where the Bears went from 20 to 11 to get a quarterback in Justin Fields. I said, okay, let me go find a comp when this actually did happen. They got a lot more than that. They got a future first-round pick. They got more picks than that. That's not enough. So the more I sat there, and it's not, look, the Lions have the opportunity. The Lions could say, we'll give you a future first-rounder next year. Would you move for the Lions, future first, would you move from 13 to 32 if you knew you're getting another first rounder, which would be three first rounders next year? Would you move to 32? Ultimately, after letting it sit there for almost 3 hours as I kept working on the draft, I said, you know what?
No.
I don't think they'd move all the way to 32.
I just don't think
there's a scenario they move to 32. So I had to blow my – I had already done 11 more picks. I had to blow it up at number 13 and start over again. And I waffled between two players. Once again, I do think 13 could be a trade-in spot. I waffled between two players. You want to guess who they were?
That would be...
I did draft with two different players and had to rechange it and rechange it. And I made a phone call into a source to see if Lovey would be okay with drafting one of these players, despite having a player that's already at the same position, so to speak.
Karlaftis?
No. Good call. I thought about Karlaftis. I made him 14 to the Ravens. I ended up looking at Devin Lloyd because he is a ass-kicking, physical, fast linebacker who is a captain of your – and he's an attitude guy that I think – when I say attitude, I mean alpha – that I think Nick Caserio and Lovie Smith would really like. Remember, Lovie had – don't forget this. He had Lance Briggs, Brian Urlacher. He had two hammers at linebacker that he was really good with. So I would not rule out Devin Lloyd at the number 13 pick for the Houston Texans. The guy that I settled on when it was all said and done, and I never expected to do this, was Devontae Wyatt. And I have Devontae Wyatt from Georgia there because he is an upfield pass rusher. He is a run defender. He can play all three downs. He gets into the backfield. He reminds me a little bit of Tommy Harris. When Tommy Harris came out of Oklahoma. And was drafted number 11, I believe, by Chicago. And so I had to check with the Texans source that I have, and I said, look, Malik Collins is already there. He's already there, and they just signed a deal, and they're both three techniques. And what I was told was, you know what? Lovey would be okay with playing two good players next to each other. They would make it where Lovey's trying to find the best players possible. Nick's trying to find the best players possible. And he fits Lovey. He fits Lovey to a T. He's an upfield disruptor and pass rusher. So I ended up going number 13 with Devontae Wyatt. I would have no problem with Devin Lloyd.
So you prefer him as opposed to Jordan Davis?
Yes, because Jordan Davis I don't think is going to play on most third downs. And that's the big difference. I looked at cornerback and thought about it. If Stingley's there, I think Stingley will be the pick at 13. If Kyle Hamilton, I think he'll be in the mix. But ultimately, I just couldn't go wide receiver there. I didn't find the value in wide receiver. And Jordan, I felt like Jordan Davis, that's too early to draft. Remember, he's a one-gapping upfield. Devontae Wyatt is a one-gapping defensive tackle, a true three technique who maybe can play some one depending on how you're doing it, although I think they move Malik Collins there between guard center. So I went third pick, Evan Neal, and your 13th pick, Devontae Wyatt, and that's build the fronts. All right. That's what I'm trying to do.
All right. We'll talk more about this because there's a lot more to do. But up next, Dana Holgorsen in studio with us to talk Cougs football, to talk college football, to talk all kinds of stuff right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But in the meantime, Lance, you got to talk about insurance.
TGS Insurance gives you an easy opportunity to get into it. And that's texting the word money to 232323. That's money to 232323. You are going to be able to shop for A-rated insurance. And that's all they shop for is A-rated insurance companies. Well, these A-rated insurance companies, how are you going to get the best rate possible? Well, you've got to shop your homeowner's insurance. If you stay with the same company, they have Your company is going to have your insurance go up year after year. I just had it happen with the company I was with. That's the norm in the business. So let TGS Insurance shop for you in a matter of seconds. Within 15 seconds, you're going to get a firm quote on your homeowner's insurance. And I mean, it's an A-rated company. It's not some slappy company. It's an A-rated company with multiple companies vying for your business by offering competitive rates. And you're just a text message away from getting those rates sent to you. Text the word money to 232323. That's 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Fun. Sports.